Have you ever stopped to think about the kind of life you're living and, more importantly, why? For example, why do you live where you live? Why that neighborhood instead of another one? If you're working, why are you working? Why that job, not a different one? What about your family and friends? What are they like? How do you treat them and how do they treat you? The purpose of asking these questions is simple. We want to determine what forces have shaped your life up to now. The reasons why your life has turned out the way it has so far. There's a very important reason for looking at the whys in your life. The answers to these questions mark the starting point on the road to your successful future. It would be an exercise in futility to try mapping a new path in life without understanding where you are right now. It's like trying to follow a road map without knowing what city you're in. Or as that old saying goes, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. You have to know where you are to get where you want to go. It's that simple. It's called getting your bearings before charting your course. So in this message, we'll discuss the critical process of finding out where you are, how you got there, and most important of all, how you can design and live the life you most want to live. In a moment, you'll also learn another important secret to success, a fundamental truth that for some reason remains a total mystery to the vast majority of people. Once you hear it and fully understand the power it has over every aspect of your life, you'll be changed forever. That truth will be summed up in a single word. Now, we know that when we build anything to last, we must anchor it with a solid foundation. And that's true whether we're building a house, a skyscraper, or anything else. The philosopher George Santa Anna said it well when he observed, "The loftiest edifices need the deepest foundations." And of course, that metaphor applies to life. If you want to build a great life, you must first start with a solid foundation. The stronger your foundation, the better your chance of constructing a great life. So what constitutes the foundation of your life, or for that matter, of anyone's life? What is this essential key to success that eludes so many? As I said a moment ago, the answer is contained in a single word, and that word is philosophy. Your philosophy of life is the foundation of who you are. It's the cornerstone for your behavior, your daily actions, your relationships with others, your habits, everything you do in life. Your philosophy determines what you ultimately will achieve in life. The dictionary defines philosophy as a system of values by which one lives. Call it, if you will, your belief system. The summation of everything you believe, a belief system that comprises all the convictions and motivating principles that give direction to your conduct in life. Your philosophy of life, in a description I like, is the master operating system that guides your life. Think about it this way. What you believe creates who you are. All of us interpret the world based on what we believe to be true. You are literally what you believe you are, and others are what you believe them to be. All of the opportunities and experiences of your life are funneled through your personal philosophy, that is, what you believe about life. No doubt you've heard people talk from time to time about having a philosophy of life, and maybe you've even used the phrase yourself to describe your own general outlook on the world. But how often have you actually stopped to consider just what it is you really do believe and don't believe? I ask the question because I found that a great many people never even think about the concept of a philosophy of life, let alone give serious thought to what their core beliefs amount to. You see, we've been building up to a very important question, and that question is, what is your philosophy of life? Do you really know deep down what ideas are guiding your life? What convictions are you ready to stand up for? What principles make up your master operating system? You'll note that I didn't ask if you have a philosophy of life, because whether or not you realize it, you do have such a guiding set of principles firmly in place. Each of us, from our earliest days, has been acquiring, even though we may have done it unconsciously, a collection of material, social, and spiritual values that constitutes a philosophy of life. In short, everyone has a philosophy of life. The real question you eventually must answer is whether it's the right philosophy of life based on your personal goals and aspirations. I think it's also important to mention in this regard that your philosophy of life will likely continue to evolve throughout your life. Aristotle wrote that one's philosophy didn't fully develop until after age 50. But of course, in his day, age 50 was old age. These days, the average person can expect to continue that process decades beyond age 50. And it stands to reason that your core beliefs continue to mature as your knowledge and awareness of life expands. Obviously, our philosophy of life, what we believe, influences everything we do. Let's take a few minutes now to explore a few anecdotes and examples that reflect how individual beliefs profoundly affect the lives and destinies of the persons involved. Two young men, we'll call them Joe and Bill, start working at the same company on the same day and on similar jobs with the same boss. They have equal footing on a career ladder that offers good prospects for advancement and success. The only noticeable difference in the two men is in their attitudes toward the job. Bill thinks his new job is really a dead end with little chance for advancement. He believes the company is taking advantage of him and isn't paying him enough. He decides he's not doing any more work than is absolutely necessary just to get by. Joe, on the other hand, believes that if he really masters his present job, he can move on to one with greater responsibilities and greater rewards. He believes that the key to earning more is doing more than he's being paid to do. He puts in extra hours on the job and looks for challenging new assignments. It's not hard to guess which of these two men will enjoy the greater success in his career. Obviously, Joe will earn the significant raises, promotions, and other rewards for his enterprise. Bill, on the other hand, will probably wonder why he's passed over and never moves ahead. The simple moral to that story is a timeless one. Emerson summed it up nicely when he wrote, "Men suffer all their lives under the foolish superstition that they can be cheated. But it is impossible for a man to be cheated by anyone but himself." The truth is, life never holds us back. Only we do that to ourselves. Unsuccessful people so often blame everyone but themselves for their misfortune. They believe that circumstances or the breaks are against them. The last thing they'll concede is that their problem really lies within themselves, that they have an attitude problem toward their jobs and toward life in general. Successful people, on the other hand, accept life for what it is, challenging, and believe that a way can be found to overcome any obstacle. They believe that every problem holds an opportunity for progress. They believe that the way to get ahead is to work harder and smarter today than they did yesterday. In short, successful people believe in making their own opportunities, by inspiration if possible, but by perspiration if necessary. They know that the key to their success lies within themselves, not in the circumstances around them. Their belief system, again, their philosophy of life, is geared for success. Let's look at another example of how your beliefs influence your destiny. Did you know that wealth is the product of a very specific system of beliefs? It's true. The difference between rich people and people struggling to get by is far more than their addresses and the size of their bank accounts. Studies have shown that the two groups have totally different philosophies about money. Their beliefs differ not only in how to earn money, but in how to invest it and how to spend it. People who accumulate wealth are distinguished, first of all, by a belief that wealth is important and that the accumulation of wealth is a desirable objective in life. Next, they believe in the wisdom of investing part of everything they earn for the long haul and benefiting from the rewards of compounding interest. Moreover, they believe in protecting their wealth by employing professional investment advice if necessary. And finally, they believe in spending wisely. They're willing to spend money to make money, but they're always in a position to tell their money where to go rather than asking where it's gone. With that in mind, How does your system of beliefs regarding money stack up? What is your philosophy about accumulating wealth? Do you think about making a living or making a fortune? The answer most people give is easy. Out of necessity, they think mostly about making a living. And perhaps that sums up your situation too, for now. But let me ask you what would happen if your focus shifted. Instead of concentrating merely on making a living, what would happen if you decided to direct your life toward becoming financially independent, toward accumulating sufficient wealth so that money is no longer an issue in your life? There's no better way or time to start wealth building than by developing an investment philosophy right now. Do you pay yourself part of everything you earn? By that I mean, do you set aside part of every paycheck for long-term investments before paying your bills? When you decide to focus on a philosophy of wealth accumulation, you'll automatically invest your money first, then spend what's left, rather than the other way around. That decision, though, is up to you, and there's no time like the present to get started. The choice, of course, is yours to shape your philosophy, whether it's financial or in some other area, to develop a new system of beliefs based on what you decide is important to your future. Let me give you another example of how the power of beliefs can influence your future. I want you to think about your health for a moment, and while you're thinking about the shape you're in, I want to ask you a question. What's your philosophy about your personal health? Or do you have a health philosophy? If you're puzzled by that notion, I assure you that you're not alone. Most people never give the subject much thought, and I doubt that most people even realize that they do have a health philosophy. But everyone does, for better or worse. With that understanding in mind, let's do a little exploring to learn something about your health philosophy. Let's start with some questions about food. Do you know, for example, what food means to you? What your beliefs are about food? And a familiar old question that still gets to the point, do you eat to live or live to eat? Some years ago, I made a brief study by asking several people questions similar to the ones I've just asked you. I began with questions about nutrition and vitamins, but eventually got around to the subject of food and how they felt about it. Several of the people questioned were obviously overweight. These were individuals who were virtually unanimous in responding that eating was one of the most pleasurable and enjoyable activities in life. There was a consensus that losing weight was desirable, but they all found that difficult because they enjoyed eating so much. Several also mentioned that they frequently ate just to relieve stress. Next, I gave the same little quiz to some individuals who seemed within normal weight ranges and who looked to be physically fit. Their answers didn't surprise me. All enjoy food, but instead of regarding food first as a source of pleasure, they think of it primarily as a source of energy. I particularly recall one individual who was active in a variety of sports. She said, "Food is fuel. I focus on eating foods that increase my energy and my ability to compete." I then asked her how she deals with stress. She said, "I immediately go out for some exercise, like walking or jogging. That's the great thing about exercise. It reduces stress." My little non-scientific experiment merely helped reinforce for me the known fact that different people have dramatic differences in philosophies about food. For some, food is primarily a source of enjoyment and an aid in relieving stress. For others, food is primarily fuel for enhancing their ability to perform. For the most part, the difference rests in different belief systems. And in the case of the group who would really like to lose weight, we can be sure of one thing. Until they change their beliefs, nothing else will change, especially their waistlines. The important thing to remember from these examples is that it only takes a small shift in your thinking to make major changes in your life for the better. Let's move on to one last area that we all have an interest in. Maybe this will sound like a silly question, but how do you feel about happiness? Everyone's entitled to their share, right? Well, if there was such a thing as a universal condition among humans, it would probably be a desire for happiness in life. Who do you know who wouldn't like to be happy? But what a curious irony it is that in spite of the common longing for happiness we all feel, so few people engender an outlook on life, a philosophy, that's consistent with attaining real happiness. The conflict exists because people generally don't believe they really control their own happiness. They tend to believe that we find happiness only through external factors, circumstances and conditions outside of ourselves. So, good times bring happiness, and if we have everything we want and everything goes our way, then it's easy to be happy. But what about the bad times? Then what? Well, we can see that when things don't go well, the inevitable result is unhappiness. Inevitable, at least, if the operative philosophy dictates that happiness can only be generated by external forces. I don't mean to ignore the impact that tragedy has in our lives and the pain that's associated with it. Surely there are times to mourn in life. But in the same way I believe we have the power to recover from painful losses, I believe we achieve true happiness in life only on the strength we generate within ourselves. Once again, the Greek philosopher Aristotle said it almost 2,000 years ago, "Happiness depends on ourselves." That thought was echoed later by someone who said, "Happiness is a conscious choice, not an automatic response." So the important message is simply this. Ultimately, each of us is responsible for his or her own happiness, period. We decide whether to be happy persons or not. We deal with loss and the pain it brings with the strength of knowing that this too will pass. We triumph in life by choosing to believe that we can have peace of mind, the ultimate happiness, in every moment of our lives. Happiness has its foundation in our system of beliefs. You recall we began our discussion by pointing out how our beliefs control every aspect of our lives. We then offered some examples of how your beliefs affect your work, your wealth, your health, and your happiness. With that background in mind, I want you to ask yourself the following questions. Where are my beliefs taking me? Have I drawn accurate conclusions about my current situation? What effect will my current beliefs have on me over the next 5 years? Are my beliefs taking me where I really want to go in life? It's critical in shaping our belief system to look ahead, to ask where we're going and what we expect to be like when we get there. We want to be sure our beliefs have promoted the kind of personal growth that prepares us for moving into the future. The quality of your master operating system is the key to how your life works out. What you choose to believe and the effect those beliefs have on your actions will determine whether or not you achieve the abundance in life you desire. When you've carefully thought out your belief system and have your philosophy of life in place, you're prepared to manage whatever the world has to offer. This raises the question, how do you develop the right kind of belief system? How do you inventory your existing beliefs, challenge them for validity, and replace them with new beliefs? Should you try to install a whole new master operating system, or maybe just rebuild what you already have? Well, the first step in overhauling a belief system is what I call a mind-clearing experience, where we literally clean out our old closets of beliefs, take stock, keep what's good and constructive, and get rid of the rest. Please keep in mind that you're not bound in any way by the existing beliefs you may now hold, by past courses of action, and particularly by your past mistakes. You have the power to change the course of your life by altering what you believe. Your destiny is literally shaped by your decision to choose new beliefs and new patterns of thought. To begin the mind-clearing process, I want you to make a list of all the beliefs you think most nearly represent your present and past outlook on life. This means you include not only the beliefs that reflect where you are at the moment, but also the beliefs you feel brought you to this point in life. I assure you that you're in for a number of surprises from this experience. First, in the process of discovery, you'll be surprised at the conclusions you make about what it is you actually believe, beliefs that you may not have been aware of previously. Second, you'll be surprised at the importance and significance these expressions have when you've given them substance in writing. Finally, you'll be pleasantly surprised then at the objectivity you gain in a newfound ability to examine, analyze, and test each of these beliefs for its validity in your life today. So give careful thought to the course your life has taken and the influences that have had a significant bearing on your life. Think especially about those persons who, by example or word, have been role models in your life scheme. Examine also in what ways your present thinking has been shaped by your parents, relatives, family environment, and your growing up experience. Throughout this message, I've been posing the kinds of questions that are designed to help shape your belief system. You'll want to continue to ask and answer more questions of this kind as you reflect about every facet of your life up to the present. Keep in mind that the conclusions you draw from this process will be the substance of your new belief system, the right master operating system for you. The reason to engage in this deliberate exercise of developing your own individual philosophy of life is to avoid the pitfalls of conformity. Because all of us have a natural tendency in life to become a part of our environment, we tend to become like the people we associate with. In time, we tend to reflect each other's thoughts and ideas. It's the path of least resistance. The problem with conforming to others, though, is that they may not be going where you want to go. For example, if you want to become wealthy, you must realize that the path most people take does not lead to wealth. The same can be said about developing excellent health or happiness or a great family life or anything else of real value and substance. Most people follow the path of least resistance, a path that never seems to lead anywhere. I think the following quotation vividly characterizes the futility of human conformity. To act without clear understanding, to form habits without investigation, to follow a path all one's life without knowing where it really leads, such is the behavior of the multitude. You may be interested, as I was, to learn that those words were written over 2,000 years ago by a Chinese philosopher named Meng Tse. It struck me that those words are as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. It's still the behavior of the multitude. To act without clear understanding, to form habits without investigation, to follow a path all one's life without knowing where it really leads. This message is intended to make sure you don't get caught in this trap. You have the power and ability at any given moment to amend your beliefs and take control of your life. You can create a brand new destiny for yourself and those around you by simply changing your beliefs. Your positive beliefs have the power to neutralize the negative influences of external conditions and circumstances. In the course of developing your new philosophy, you may encounter conflicts regarding what to believe. When this occurs, I suggest that you just ask yourself this simple question. Will having this belief help me or hurt me? If a belief reflects doubt, fear, or defeatism, it will hurt you. It will lead you to becoming less of a person, not more. If a belief reflects optimism, progress, and trust, it will help you. Obviously, you'll choose the helpful belief, one that will help you build your life, not tear it down. Over the years, people accumulate beliefs that hurt them without thinking about it. In time, these negative outlooks become an enormous burden, weighing us down and holding us back. Don't hesitate in your mission, first to identify your own negative beliefs, and then immediately get rid of them, leave them behind. You'll not only feel lighter, less encumbered, you'll think better. You'll even look better. There's one final point I want you to remember. The attitude you display toward life is also shaped by your philosophy. In fact, your attitude is really just an outward manifestation of your philosophy. So if you develop a great philosophy, you'll show the world a great attitude. And believe me, there's no greater magnet for attracting success than a great attitude. There's no more powerful impetus to success than a grateful, expectant, positive outlook on life. So in concluding, please keep in mind your philosophy is the foundation of your life. You need a strong foundation to build a successful life. Now let's take a few minutes to review some of the important points of our discussion. You now know the secret that will change your life from the previous message. It's the fundamental law that simply says your thoughts control your life. In this message, we focused on the fact that what you think about is guided by your philosophy. So the secret answer to the question where you are now and why is to be found in your philosophy. The dictionary defines philosophy as the system of values by which we live. Our personal philosophy of life is an amalgam of all of the ideas we hold to be true. It's the master operating system of every life. Next, remember how your philosophy directly affects your wealth, your health, even your happiness. The greatest influence on a successful life is a positive personal philosophy. And to develop this philosophy, it's important to choose between beliefs that either help you or hurt you. Beliefs that help you are positive, allowing you to grow and expand. Beliefs that hurt you are negative, grounded in fear and defeatism, and inevitably hold you back. You'll also want to be sure that your new belief system supports your long-term goals and objectives. And finally, remember that your attitude toward life is also determined by your philosophy. Develop a great philosophy, and you'll just naturally show the world a great attitude. And nothing attracts success like a great attitude.
This is the end of Side 2. Side 1 is already queued up for your next listening.